Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hey, 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 from deep inside Jolly Rogers Studio, this is the Q Filmcast once again, and whether you're with us online worldwide or perhaps nationwide, one of those affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If you don't yet know, or you haven't heard, and how is that possible?
It can't possibly.
Not everybody's hip.
We are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week at Jolly Rogers Studio, where we go around this table to tell you what we thought. And, of course, our top three list.
Yeah.
Of course.
Always inspired by the movie in question. And let's get to it, guys. Let's reveal that. Let's come out from underneath our big fat head and tell them what it is. Any clues there? I think so. We're talking about 2014. If I joined a band, I can really get ahead.
Oh,
I tried to make that a fun.
Yeah, really? I thought the band was a little too heady.
Yeah.
They were ahead of their time.
Yeah. Nice. No, we're talking about Frank. Let's just get right to that. The movie 2014 starring Michael Fassbender, Domhnall Gleeson.
Domhnall.
Sure.
Maggie Gyllenhaal and Scoot McNairy. There you go, Frank. That is what we have in the queue for you tonight.
Yep.
The Big Head movie.
Yep.
And I think some of you may know what we're talking about. Inspired a top three, and I like the way this one's going to go down, Hoodie. We're talking about top three fictitious bands.
Fictitious bands.
There's some good ones, too.
There's a bunch of them.
A lot, right?
Some of them you wish were real bands.
Yeah, some were.
You know? But yeah, we're going to get into that at the end of the show, as we always do. So, as we always say, if you've seen this movie, Frank, well, then obviously you're going to want to keep listening to the show to see if you agree with our take on it.
Sure.
But don't let that stop you if you haven't, because then you can just listen to see if it's something that you may want to queue up yourself.
Right. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, there you go. I'm Michael, as always, along with to my left, James Hardsub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Savage. What kind of week you had?
Not bad. How about you? How was your week?
Well, of course I've had a good week. You want to know why?
I do.
Wasn't hit by a car.
Good.
Oh, and also, you know, no one mistook my cremated remains for a powdery dessert topping.
Is that what that was?
I thought it was a protein base.
I didn't know what that was. Right. Oh, but you know, I was not stabbed in the leg after being seduced in a hot tub.
That's half the seduction.
I know, right?
There's probably a website for that.
Right.
Hot tub leg stab fetish.
Hot tub leg stab.
So I had a pretty good week.
That's not bad. That's
if
not
you
a bad
could
week.
Say any of those three things in synchronicity, you're doing.
There we go. Yeah,
synchronicity.
I did that for you, Max.
I know.
And Max who? I'm talking about Max Gumbo Johnson.
Hello.
There he is, as always.
As always.
I'm going to you right now to give you your proper introduction, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Nice to have you along. And
I'm here every week.
As is the guy to your right this time.
Uh-oh.
Love that guy.
Yeah. Matthew St. Hoodie, the patron saint of high-quality outerwear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes heads, not always.
I was going to ask, is a big fake head considered quality outerwear?
It was really a part of him.
Yeah.
Depends on if there's a good fan. Quality outerwear should be.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of a big head, a big beautiful head, the one that's sitting over there behind the producing cube.
Eyes up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. He's giving me his little, his facial expressions.
He's telling you what's up.
Yeah,
what's
there he is. I see him. And that's the producer. Greatest producer in the history of this Q film cast.
Hello.
There he is. Nicely done. So here we are. And let's get on with this episode, guys. Frank and top three fictitious bands.
Yep.
So let's get it going. This movie was written by, well, first of all, let's stop here for one second. This is a queued up selection by Max Gumbo Johnson. I forgot to mention that.
Sure.
We should actually reveal that you queued this film up.
You've done that.
And you've seen this in the theater.
I saw it twice in the theater.
And then it came to Netflix.
And I watched it again.
So let's get into it. This film was written by John Ronson. He wrote Men Who Stare at Goats.
Oh, that
really?
Guy.
I like that.
I have not seen that.
It's not bad.
I've had a lot of people say they didn't like it.
It's not bad.
I wasn't crazy about it.
This was directed by Lenny Abramson.
Good old Lenny.
It was his first real director. It was a bit of a directorial debut, because all he's really done before this was a bunch of British TV stuff.
Yeah,
most of that's not good.
Yeah. It's like that, you know, kind of has that weird kind of look to it. Kind of
like, yeah, like video.
Yeah, kind of like an uploaded kind of, what do you call it, Adam, when you...
Adam's TV.
Yeah, Adam's TV, never mind.
Don't make fun of my TV. My TV is awesome. Y'all need to update y'alls.
Yeah.
Update whatever. Y'alls. this film stars... Pretty good.
I'm from Nashville.
Upscale.
Shut up.
Upscale. You call it upscale. Scale referencing.
Yes.
Yeah. My TV's 20 times better than yours.
Uh-oh. Mine looks awesome.
No. Yeah. Adam, his TV's 20 times better than yours.
Thank you.
But, hey, your TV's 5 times better than mine, okay?
There you go.
Whoa. Good way to put it in perspective.
I don't care. Let's get into some of this. What the critics thought of this, Max.
Okay.
What do you think IMDb gave this film right here?
7.3.
He's in the margin of error. He dinged it right there. 7.0.
Oh.
Yep, off the crossbar and in. Good job. 7.0.
Awesome. I like that.
Rotten Tomatoes, Savage. What do you think the critics gave this film?
Critics? If let me go 7.6. 92.
92. Yeah.
Closing it.
Yes. Hoodie, what do you think the users gave Rotten Tomatoes here?
90.
Frank. Yeah. You say 90?
90.
75.
Yowza.
Yowza. Let's get into what this film is. Frank, the eccentric story of an avant-garde pop group whose leader, played by Michael Fassbender, wears a large artificial head. When we meet them, Frank and his band, the unpronounceable Sorenfrubs.
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 You got it.
Are on a not very successful UK tour. While attempting to rescue their keyboardist from drowning himself after a show, they encounter John, a not-so-sure-of-himself musician who they recruit into the lineup despite his lack of talent. From there, John is invited to join the band in Ireland, where they take root in a secluded country house, a perfect place for composing what they believe will be the greatest album ever. But John doesn't take the warning that the shoes he's filling are putting him in a center of a band full of crazy people. There's Clara, the theremin player, who aggressively hates him, Barack and Nana, who don't seem to speak English other than what it suits them, Don, the manager and self-confessed mannequin lover, and of course Frank, the musical genius lurking somewhere behind his papier-mâché head. Frank is based on the memoir by John Ronson and is a fictional story loosely based on Frank Sidebottom, the persona of cult musician and comedy legend Chris Sivey, as well as an outsider musicians like Daniel Johnston and Captain Beefheart.
Captain Beefheart.
I know Captain Beefheart. We actually have some of this stuff. So why don't we stop right here? Let's listen to a trailer from 2014's Frank. Come back and tell you what we thought of this one right here.
I say tell everyone everything. Why cover anything up? Right?
How to describe Frank?
1, 2, 3, 4!
Well, there's the head, of course.
He never takes it off. You think it's weird? Would it help if I said my facial expressions out loud? Welcoming smile.
Delighted look.
But what goes on inside the head inside that head?
I find this inspiring.
Is music. I've been offered a really important gig, South by Southwest, in Texas.
People are interested in us.
We could be big.
Here we go.
It's gonna be huge. You gotta come see us tomorrow night. I promise we'll be battle
at. Frank's not okay.
Frank, come back!
With all his issues, 100% sanest cat I've ever met.
Okay.
The head. Take it off.
I have a certificate.
Take it off!
Here it is. My most likable song ever.
Coca-Cola, lipstick ring, go dance all night, kiss me, just kiss me, Nefertiti.
This is your most likable song ever?
Yeah.
People will love it.
All right, so there you go. There's a piece of the film we're talking about tonight. Frank, queued up by Max Gumbo Johnson.
Yes.
Which will lead us into our top three fictional bands at the end. Let's talk about some facts and figures, some trivia about this thing.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Max, did you know Gumbo Johnson?
Probably.
Did you? Can we just say yes and just move on with everything? Right. We don't need any trivia. Right. If you want to know the answers, just send Max a letter. Right. All of the music performed by the band is played live by the actors on screen.
Wow.
It's mostly just a bunch of noise.
I mean, it wouldn't be hard to pull off.
That surprised me.
It wasn't like, wow, they actually played that. Yeah. Which is, you know, part of the deal, I guess. But
I don't know. The guitar player was pretty good at it.
He
took some talent.
Maggie Gyllenhaal was kicking ass on that theremin.
Right, and that was kind of legit.
Adam, you could be in Cern of Herbs.
Easily.
Cern of Herbs.
Am I saying that right?
Yes,
I've
you
heard
are.
That you could use a keyboard player.
I got lots of them.
Right. Did you know, producer, that when he first heard of the existence of the screenplay, Michael Fassbender approached the producer to let him know he'd be really keen to do it?
Yeah.
Did you know, though, that the part of Frank was originally written with Johnny Depp in mind?
Oh, thank God that didn't happen.
Oh, yes.
No, he doesn't have to wear eyeliner, so he's not interested.
Jeez. Well,
he probably would have put on the outside of the mask.
I think, yeah, well, maybe that was his idea.
And he probably said, only if Tim Burton's directing.
Yeah, only if Tim Burton. I don't want to play a real person. It has to be a character. And where's my eyeliner, damn it? Right. A Sharpie, that'll work.
I want to be a caricature.
What about you, Hoodie? Did you know that this premiered at the 2014 Sundance Film Festival, and all the audience members were given Frank masks to wear?
Whoa!
I'm trying to say.
Wow! How do you sit next to somebody?
Why don't you give him a big head?
Right.
They should have made a bunch of heads.
Yeah, that's a commitment.
That is a commitment. Because I was wondering the whole movie, how do you see through that thing?
He only had peripheral vision.
He bumped around.
He only had peripheral vision inside that mask. He couldn't really see straight ahead.
Right. Mm. So how are you supposed to watch a movie?
Right.
Okay, I get your point.
I thought this was interesting. Did you know that the movie was based on troubled musician Daniel Johnston? Now, I looked into this.
Daniel Johnston.
And you know what made him troubled? I found this fascinating.
No.
Basically, the guy lost his mind at all kinds of crazy stuff. But basically, he ended up losing his mind, being put into a mental institution to this day where he still thinks he's Casper the Friendly Ghost.
What? That sounds awesome.
His stuff is awesome, though.
He thinks he's Casper the Friendly Ghost.
That's what makes him so good.
I know. I've actually heard some of it's pretty good.
It's real good.
Yeah. We don't use thumbs up or thumbs down. Why, Max?
Because it's redonkulous.
It's stupid. Redonkulous.
Right. It's redonkulous.
It's a new word for the week.
It is, though. I mean, I've never... He really hit the... Hit the nail on the head with that one.
Thanks, buddy.
I was like, stupid's not quite cutting it.
How about every week?
But dumb is just too much. What word is it?
Redonkulous.
You know what we should do? Every week you're going to come up with a new word as to why we don't do thumbs up.
I said that last week.
Right. I think that's been established.
Oh, right. Sorry.
This week,
how soon we forget.
Yeah. But we do use something for currency, Max, and it's always inspired by the film. This week, Frank, what are we using to rate this film?
YouTube hits.
YTH, baby.
YTH, baby. All the way YouTube hits. Let's get into it right here.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Okay. Max Gumbo Johnson, you queued it up, so go. What are you going to give this film?
9 YouTube hits. I love this movie. Loved it. Loved every second of this movie.
I guess so. I guess he liked it.
Well, he didn't love it 10 to love it.
Yeah, he didn't 10 love, love every it. What's going on with that?
Well, that would have been loved it.
What about you, producer? Let's go straight to you all the way around the table to the right. What are you going to give Frank 2014?
I am so happy I've seen this film. I was excited, but it's not worth watching again. So I'm going to go with 6, though.
Six? Okay.
That was so weird.
Like Frank said.
It's about weird bands.
My favorite part of that was, I was excited. That was my favorite part of what you just said.
I knew what he was doing, though.
Yeah, right.
I sensed what he was doing.
Yeah. It was fun.
The bait and switch.
Right. Yeah, the old bait and switch.
Right.
Nice job there, Adam. No, I like that, though. I brought an interesting exposition.
Thank you.
What about you, Hoodie? What you going to go with?
I'm going to go with 8. I liked it a lot. I was... excited.
That's my boy.
Yeah.
You're my boy. That's my boy.
What about you, Savage? What you going with?
I liked it too. It's a fun ride. It's surprisingly poignant and touching. I'll go with an 8 as well.
Okay, so that leaves up to me. Right, one last time?
Uh-oh.
Oh, here's my I do this every week. No. Hold on a second.
Easy killer.
Wait a second here. I am going to go with the protractors on this one, though. I guess my overall thoughts are best summed up by the final credit where it says based on a newspaper article. That's kind of what I was left with. There isn't much of anything here other than the basic outline and some window dressing. I was real disappointed in this movie.
Ah.
Not that it didn't have its doses of charm or whatever, especially in the beginning. What I'm saying is when, you know, your curiosity is piqued.
Right.
That's when I thought it would really go somewhere. But this felt incredibly thin to me. Incredibly thin and really, really underdeveloped.
Like paper mache thin?
Yeah, I mean, just really underdeveloped. Nice. No, like a piece of paper thin.
Yeah.
Things just sort of come and go way too quickly or not at all. The movie bummed me out. I really wanted to like it. I would say every character except maybe John felt more like an idea rather than something that was written. And the scenes felt the same way too, like they were just plot points rather than actual pieces of the film. They were just plot points. that really didn't go anywhere. Kind of like something you'd read, you'd get into after you read a newspaper article. Like you just, I felt like someone read the article, brainstormed for an hour, and decided to make this movie. Was kind of what it came up with for me. But it was just kind of like put them in a cabin, make everything appear make someone appear threatened, because you got to have that. And then have a scene where they say Frank is so inspirational, so they know he's inspirational. Then throw in a scene where there's some band time. Then we have a scene where the record deal is done, where the only dialogue is the record is done. And then we have a death, and then we have a sex scene that leads to nowhere, and then they break out fighting over food.
You're talking about a story.
Yeah, and then they, well, no, what I'm saying is they have a scene, well, that's it. They're plot points. It's not a story. They have a scene where they're talking about how broke they are, and then all of a sudden they're in Texas. How'd they get there if they're broke? It just went on and on like that. I really didn't like this film. It felt desperate, empty. It tried to hold on to the aesthetic of the head way too much, which, by the way, the entire movie is set up for what's behind the head, and that was the reveal, really. It just felt lazy and boring. It may be a great idea. There may be a foundation here. Because I love the odd, clever movies, for sure, especially when you're going to thread music into it. But as a film, as a script, I just didn't think there was anything here to appreciate. I found myself very bored. The plot points needed to lead to a script. They didn't need to be the script. And I have examples of that. But very bland to me. I'm going to be nice and go 5. I didn't like Frank very much. But that's my rendition. Let's get back into it. Let's get back. And by the way, that was written a week ago, Max.
How many YTH we got on that, yeah. Max? What's our YTH?
36 YouTube hits.
All right.
All right, but let's get into it, Max. You lead this off. We're going to get into some details. Okay. You really like this film. You got more out of it than I did, that's for sure.
I liked it a lot.
But get into it. Why'd you like this film so much?
First off, it's you go into this with that, oh, this is one of these quirky, cutesy movies, kind of like Submarine. But you know what? It pays off. There's a payoff to this movie. There's a payoff to the story. There's a payoff to the lessons, the themes of the movie. And it's actually funny in the places it's supposed to be funny, unlike some other movies I won't mention.
See how personal he's taking it?
No, I'm not taking it personally.
Yeah,
just
he's all pissed off and personal. Right. Yeah.
But no, this film worked where other films of this ilk, I guess, just don't work for me. Mm-hmm. I thought the jokes paid off when they were there and they were meant to pay off, and it was subtle humor. It wasn't thrown in your face like this big gags and everything. Not that it was a straight-up comedy, but the comedy bits worked. The drama bits worked. That the ending, I don't see how you go like, that's it? Yeah, that was pretty devastating. I mean, you think from the beginning of the movie, is this guy crazy? What's going on with this dude?
Yes, the answer is yes. Yeah, and he has a certificate.
I'm wondering from the beginning, I was like, yeah, there's something wrong with this guy. But is he inspiring these people? Are they crazy? I don't know.
Yes.
But maybe they are, maybe they're not. But if they're getting some inspiration off of this guy, you know, where do you separate the artist and the person? That's what the whole movie was about. Yeah. And it nailed it. It nailed it. Every scene was nailed.
I'm glad you got that. I'm glad you went there with it.
Well, you can beat it up like Equilibrium all you want, but you're not bringing me down, buddy.
I think Max is all upset.
No, he's not upset. Man. He's just fired up.
No,
I like how
he's inspired.
I will defend this film.
It's like, we need time to stand still, so quick, have him hit by a car so we can stay in the bed for a few weeks. So that way Frank has time to get away. And oh, look, he's walking now. Anyways, I got all kinds of
really
stuff.
That's really a lame point to bring.
We'll get to the scenes.
Yeah, we'll get to the scenes. But let's go to Adam. You didn't like it that much. Why?
Pretentious musicians.
That was
no
what they
joke.
Were supposed to be.
Wow.
No joke. They annoy me. I grew up around them. I can't stand them.
You are one.
I am not.
He is one, yeah.
Not at all. I cannot stand them. And it was full of them, and it just annoyed me for the most part.
Yeah.
I like the ideas behind the movie. I thought it was good. And I like watching movies about bands and how they grow and how they always dissolve. But honestly, just it really wasn't anything interesting in this entire movie. I'm really glad I watched this movie. But honestly, I'll never watch it again. And I don't think once you watch it once, that's all you need.
If you literally took the idea of this guy has a big head out of the film, if you just took the head away and just left it as just anything else, there's nothing there. There's nothing there.
Nothing.
Yeah,
that's the only thing interesting about him.
Dawn.
Yeah?
The head.
It smells like sausages.
He never takes it off.
Never?
No, never.
He sleeps in it?
Yep.
What about eating?
He sucks liquid food through a straw that he funnels up under the neckline. Occasionally solids, but it's not encouraged.
What kind of liquid food?
Gronut. It's like a supplement.
He must have a very bushy beard.
Not necessarily.
How does he clean his teeth?
Look, John, you're just gonna have to go with this.
Okay. Sorry, it's just... it's pretty crazy.
No, I know. I understand. But let me tell you something. Frank, with all his issues, is without a doubt the most 100% sanest cat I've ever met.
Besides the big head, what is it that you remember dialogue-wise? Because I can't remember a thing, but what is it?
I really like Fassbender, especially when he started to describe his emotions underneath the head. I thought that was really clever. Like, smiling playfully.
Yeah.
Eyes wide, you know. And it almost like you could sense that that's what he really was doing. You got a sense through his body language that that's what really he was doing. I think that's testament to his ability as a physical actor to pull this off with a giant head. I really think of that. Didn't really care for the Maggie Gyllenhaal. I mean, I could take her or leave her in this role. I thought she was just a placekeeper kind of thing. I like the dynamic of the band. Like, I think we've touched on that earlier. And I think a lot of that just goes to because of my experience with the band Holtzclaw, which it's like a art troupe theater band.
Yeah, you could mirror yourself in this.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not real. It's like your actors acting like a band instead of a band. And that's where we get our top threes. And I felt the same way with them. And then, you know, there are the themes of blindly following the leader. I mean, there are archetype things that are going on throughout the film as well. And then, you know, mirroring, trying to see the mirroring of myself and this guy, even though I can't see through his veil. There was those themes going on. But when I think about Frank, I think about a big papier-mâché head.
Okay. What about you, Hoodie? He thinks of a big head. Everybody's going to say big head initially, but what do you got when you think of this film? What grabs you? What comes out first?
I do want to say that I really like that I didn't automatically go to Jack in the Box watching this.
Yeah, I didn't consider it.
See? That's a testament to, I mean, they're basically the same head.
Except he didn't have a cool fan in it.
Right.
This had a good fan in it.
They both had excellent hand gestures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they served up some yummy stuff.
Approving smile.
There you go. As far as scenes, though, every time I go to the keyboardist running naked down to the river and her throwing the log and hitting him in the head, and how preposterous is that?
It was a boomerang, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Oh, was it a boomerang?
I think it was a boomerang.
I think it was just a pointed stick.
That's that's what I go to. Go figure. Yeah, right. That and the last scene. I loved the last scene. I thought that was fantastic. Just so great. The way that he came back to his band without his mask on and with his head down, and just how he started talking and how they just looked so disconnected before with everything they were doing, just so disconnected. And the second he got back, they just picked it right back up again. The inspiration was, you know, right there just by him being around.
You know what I want to say is I was a little confused as to why John, the main guy, kept saying, and he comes in the end and says, I ruined everything for you guys. Well, what did he ruin for this band?
He kept trying to get them to go more mainstream, more popular music, and it just wasn't them. So that's what ultimately I think, you know, putting them in the limelight and shoving them into places they didn't really necessarily need to be or want to go. For his own, I mean, fantasies, really.
Narcissism, maybe? Right. Not narcissism. He wanted more fame than they wanted, I think.
Yes.
I think they wanted it, but they didn't want it as badly as he did.
And it was obviously, it was about the music, but it was more about actually getting the music done than the final product.
See, Frank was so excited about those YouTube hits, he was more excited than anybody.
He was also excited. He was also excited when the guy was like, we need to go more mainstream, let's do this. He was like, yeah, that's great, I really like that, that's great. That was him kind of going a little crazy.
The best dialogue for me is, though, from Frank's who's, hey, John made it better. I like the way he said that. That was kind of funny. John made it better. He made it better, everybody. And they're in the hotel room working on the thing. Right.
And like James was saying, even behind the mask, you could sense that he was being sincere. That felt really sincere.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
You be Michael Fassbender.
Right.
Well, you be Max Gumbo Johnson and tell me what you got, Max. Go ahead.
Oh, God, where to start? Back to that scene you talk about where he says he made it better. He made it better. I love the scene where... he says, oh, I wrote a song. Oh, let's hear it. And he starts playing it. And Frank goes, oh, that's really great. What if we did this and did that? And he just changed the entire song up from what John had written.
Yeah.
And John, you can kind of sense the he's almost deflated.
Yeah.
He's like, wow, I thought I wrote something really great, and this dude took this basic little melody I did and turned it into this fantastic thing that I would have never thought of.
Same thing with the guy who walked in and plays that gorgeous song on the piano, like a really...
Scoot McNairy. Scoot.
Yeah. Right, right. He comes into his shed. Or
he talks about the boatman and all that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a... That was a pretty deep personal song, and you actually felt where he was coming from. Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, and that's crap.
Yeah,
and I do remember that scene when I say something pops up. I remember a little bit of the Scoot stuff, but once again, under Hash, it's like, okay, this guy is going to be some kind of an emotional heavy. I was like, nah, it'll be really cool to kill him, and then it'd be cool to show him crying, and then it would be cool to show kind of a big mix-up where they think it's Frank, and it's just everything was just very rushed like that. I wish they would have left him in there a little bit longer and had him kind of be the soul a bit.
Yeah, but I think you're missing something, because I know you're a fan of minimal exposition, you know, because there's time and time again where you say, that's all I needed to see, that one sentence, and I know everything I need to know about that. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a movie like that where, and you're calling them plot points this time, but I think when they serve what you like, I mean, you respond to him a little bit.
Yeah, I was real surprised by that, too, because it really just felt like there's that thin line, but this stayed as plot points. It's kind of like you said, well, they just felt like filler people. Everybody felt like that, especially in the cabin. It was like, almost I got the sense it was like, okay, well, let's make a scene where it's kind of like this, or let's try this in a scene, or like the bassist and the other guy, the French guy. Right. They never really developed into anything. They were almost like mannequins throughout the entire movie. I got no emotional connection from it. And for me, there's some plot points, too, that just felt really odd. Like, they're fighting over food. They're so hungry that they're fighting over food. And then they're on a plane going to Texas, and it's like, that doesn't work for me. You know, I know we're supposed to get them there, but you can't have it all, guys. You know, write something here. And then they get to Texas, for me anyways, and then you meet the people at the show. And that just happened within, like, a 10-minute span. It never warmed up to me. And then it was like, well, we need a little bit of comedy here, so let's throw some eyeliner on Frank. That's the way it felt. And I was really disappointed in the ending, because I wanted to see that head come off and see something that was more impactful. And I didn't like that all of a sudden Frank turns into this whining, insecure person who is supposed to be this magical, inspirational person back at the cabin who they had no scene written in. It was just him walking along with some woman, and you're supposed to make up in your mind what they're talking about. And you know, I'm talking about the people that showed up.
Yeah, the Germans. I think that was just a reason to show Fassbender speaking German.
It really his confidence right
I
there.
I love that scene.
He really fell apart. The character development of Frank didn't work for me. And then I did not like that, well, let's just have him get hit by a car, and then he's in the hospital. And that'll give plenty of time for Frank to get where he's going. Okay, now he can walk again. Let's do that.
Yeah, okay. So, that all
but I did like the beginning. I also liked a little bit of the development, especially right when he went to the first show. So it's, okay, this guy, he could possibly be in this band. Okay, now they're in a cabin.
Right.
Okay, now the record's done. And I can't explain.
Now the record's, they were there for a 11 year.
Months. Frank wanted him there.
Yeah, but I didn't feel any emotional impact of the struggle of getting that record done. I really did not.
Oh, wow.
It's like Chinese democracy.
He used up his whole nest egg and everything, and he's tweeting out saying, hashtag blew my nest egg or something like that?
Yeah, right. So like we're talking about it, and I'm understanding the plot points, but I just didn't see him developed into a good movie.
Well, you take your blinders off, buddy.
Yeah, I'm so wrong.
Well, I think a part of it was the pretension of the art. It is intended to show how pretentious certain artists can be.
What's some great dialogue in this film, Max?
I the whole scene between him and John where they're having the conversation, he's asking him, why do you wear the mask? What, you know, what's going on with that? That whole scene, the extended scene where Maggie Gyllenhaal's character comes in and he's like, I write my own music. Oh, really? Play some. Something now. Play something
now.
That
was hard, man. That was hard.
And he's sitting there trying to think up a song. He's like, well, you know, I'm just trying to blank right now. And Frank's like, oh, it's okay. It's cool, man. You know, you can do it later. And all this stuff about pretension. I didn't find Frank to be a pretentious character at all.
Man, he was in a paper mache head.
I don't think he was pretentious.
He was hiding from what he really was.
That wasn't for the gimmick, though.
Yeah.
He had a certificate.
He became a totally different person when he didn't have the head on, and when he got to the house in Kansas, and he was like this shy, bashful guy that was just ashamed of what had happened to him and didn't know where he belonged in the world. The only time he knew what was going on and could be himself was when he had that mask on. That was the whole point of the movie. That was the point of the film. That was the the message that was being driven home. And these people that followed him, you call them pretentious, call them whatever you want. Frank didn't like that pop music. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to make something different. He wanted to do something special. I mean, he's out there with the microphones, and they're jumping and throwing rocks, and he's recording it, and he looks up and he nods. Oh, yeah, that's good. That's yeah. good right there. Yeah.
I don't know you're making your case or not, man. I mean,
well, you know, say what you want about pretension and not pretentious. He did not come off as pretentious to me. The other people, yeah, totally pretentious.
Right.
Frank, no, not pretentious. He totally enjoyed the creative process and loved what he was doing and loved the music he was making. And that's the big difference between him and the other people in the band. That's why he liked John so much.
Yeah. No, I'll agree with you that Frank surprisingly seemed to be the most genuine.
He was very naive and almost childlike. Like, why does it say 23751 at the bottom? I mean, I kind of liked that aspect of it. He wasn't pretentious.
Know. He didn't know. I mean, he was apparently innocent. Had been in some sort of an accident or something. No. He had brain damage.
No, I don't think so. I mean, his parents.
Oh, so he was born with those big scars across his
that
head.
That was from wearing the strap of the mask.
I don't know. I don't know if that was from the helmet, but, no. but they
what?
Said.
It's from wearing the head.
That's what I thought.
I thought he had a strapotomy or something.
That's what I thought.
No,
because his dad said that I made him the head when he
wanted it. He just wanted it. There was nothing happened.
I thought that something happened to him, and they said you're
no,
not.
He said he was never different after the accident.
No, they didn't.
Did they not say that?
That's more the train of thought I was.
I'm almost positive they said that.
No,
he was never different after.
Nothing happened to him.
Savage. I think Max is right. Yeah.
No.
Thank you. Say that again, Michael.
I think you're right there. That's the way I saw it. I don't know who's right, but I think that's the way I saw it.
Maybe the scabs on his head were from the mask, but his dad said
they were kind of fresh.
They were never. He was never the same after the accident, or something like that.
You know, what do you think of the death scene, the Scoot scene? Did you like how they twisted that? Like everybody thought it was Frank, and then Frank comes around the corner.
Yeah.
I mean, did you see that coming? I was just kind of like, okay, killed himself. I didn't feel any emotional impact of that, but did you guys?
Yeah, I mean, he truly loved Frank, but he also made it a point to know that there's only one Frank, that you're trying to mirror yourself after this guy that, and because he's so removed through the mask, you can identify, if that makes sense.
It does.
You know, and
well, he's even had that line that said, "And everybody wants to be Frank."
Right.
So,
it's an idealized state, is what Frank represents, is an idealized state. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where Scoot had, you know, the backup mask. I mean, what is
he had a thing? He had a thing for mannequins and heads, and remember, maybe that had part of it too. He had a thing for mannequins.
Yeah, remember the shower scene? He had one in the bedroom, and then one on the shower.
Yeah,
which
he had a couple of them.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I love this movie.
You know, everybody talked about they wanted to be Frank, and Frank's so inspirational. I think there's going to come a point in this film where a part of me, somewhere deep down, is going to be inspired to. I'm going to get why they follow Frank. There's nothing in the movie other than them telling me that shows that at all.
I agree with you on
that.
That's
what bothered me the most.
No profound thing.
I kept waiting for some small spark. I almost feel like I'm going to feel ashamed for actually wanting to be like these people and understand why Frank is inspired. I never got anything other than, I guess he twirls with someone out in the street. Okay. The reveal. So anyways, that's it.
Okay, well, what about the German lady? He goes out and he has a private moment with her. You never hear what they say. Maybe he had private moments with each person. He just doesn't show it in the movie.
But there was no profound thing that brought the viewer, I guess, into it. I see what you're
saying. I can see that, too. But that closing, that family was driving off. What did she say? I wrote it down. Thank you for the new truth in my soul. I mean, he said something. He did something. We don't need to know what it was. We just need to know that he did something and got this woman back on some sort of a playful, childlike plane of existence that a lot of people are missing these days, including most of his band members.
Didn't need to hear it.
And that's how he lived.
Yeah.
You have It Takes Two to Tango. We'll start like that. Yeah. So you got a John Lennon needs a Paul McCartney to make the Beatles.
Right.
So this band, they're kind of, like I said earlier, they're kind of lost. But when he comes in and comes into the picture, that was weird. When he comes into the picture, he has that missing element. And you don't have to necessarily define anything. He just is. You know what I'm
saying? I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I didn't necessarily need to hear it. I didn't need to read it. Didn't need to maybe even see it. But I needed to feel it.
Okay.
And I just didn't feel anything.
Okay, I part ways with you there. I think I did feel it when he was around. There was an element to to what he was and what he brought to the band or whatever.
You know, I agree. It's like they did this thing where they're talking about how Frank inspires them. They put him through this physical. Frank puts him through this physical routine. Right. Boxing and tackling each other and playing grab ass out in the yard.
Love that.
And that's the only thing I had to show their basic unit. And there was no dialogue. Once again, it was just a pan shot of them rolling around. And it's like, that's
what
all
was the
I
safe
get.
Word?
It's a movie. It's show, don't tell.
Chinchilla.
Okay.
Show,
chinchilla.
Don't tell. Chinchilla.
Chinchilla. Right, right, right. What did you think of my favorite part, though, I think you like this. I did like the music. The most emotional thing or the most impactful thing was that first time you see the band and Gyllenhaal freaks out. Remember when she puts the thing out with a fire extinguisher and the whole band goes to hell?
Starts
right from
cussing
the
French dude and he cusses her back.
Yeah. Right, but her character was really crass like that. She tried to be kind of like the heavy in the film. And, and it's like the sex scene in the tub. It just happened. Okay, we had our sex scene out of the way. I thought there might be a little bit more going on after that with those two, with John and Gyllenhaal.
John and Clara?
Yeah.
I think
it was a love-hate thing.
Clara represented sort of a controlling person of the band. She tried to control Frank. She didn't like that John came in, and Frank sort of gravitating towards John.
Yeah.
She hated that. She was like, you're going to screw everything up. You're going to screw everything up. Just get out of here. And that's why she stabbed him. And I don't know. Maybe she tried to lure him in with the sex, or maybe she was just trying to get off. I don't know.
Yeah. She was jealous of other keyboardists.
She was jealous of everybody. She didn't want anybody to have any alone time with Frank. And she hated it when it happened. That's why she got so mad when John and Frank were sitting there. And then I love that scene where, you can write a song about anything. You can write a song about anything.
About the little string. That was okay.
Lonely little tuft. And he writes a whole song about it.
Yeah.
And John's just blown away by this guy.
And if you listen to the credits, the whole song is in the credits.
Yeah, the whole thing's there. It's good. I love the music.
You know, I remember thinking to myself, okay, he says he's... John is not supposed to be the crazy person. He's supposed to be kind of the person in the middle of the crazy.
Right.
But when he says, man, I'm so blown away, but I'm thinking, why? I mean, you were writing stuff in the beginning about the girl in the blue dress and all that.
I didn't feel like it.
Lady in the blue dress.
I love the thinking in lyrics. Yeah.
Lady in the red dress. Oh, you following the lady in the blue dress.
The crazy people didn't seem quite unhinged enough, and the guy who was grounded didn't seem quite grounded enough. Me.
I disagree. You could go two ways with this. You could have him be like super crazy and be like, oh, this is just ridiculous. This is comical crazy. Right. This is stupid. They were just crazy enough and just pretentious enough and just followy enough that it almost became like they were this little cult of Frank.
Right.
And that's exactly what it was.
I thought it was great. Yeah. I thought it was perfectly balanced. Yeah. Worked incredibly well.
What did you think when they meet and the keyboard is trying to drown himself?
I thought it was funny.
I have a big problem with this.
Why? Why do you have a big problem with that?
Okay.
Because he's a keyboardist.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
Everybody knows we hang ourselves.
Okay, yeah.
Poison.
It's not the part with meeting the keyboardist. It's the part where he says, oh, I'm a keyboardist, and he's going to go play a gig with him that night. And then he's surprised by what Frank, when he comes out and everything. Here's the thing. You have a good, he's at lunch. And he goes out at 9 o'clock. He has this huge time span to actually look these guys up on the internet and find out something about these guys.
If there is anything.
There's nothing.
People have to post about it. They're going to do it. He had plenty of time to find out something about their songs, who this guy
Maybe they were playing
Someone's
all new songs.
Someone's going to post about a guy with a big giant head.
They didn't know they didn't know what 23751 at the bottom meant, though.
Well, didn't know what YouTube was.
Right.
No, but people who actually went to these gigs, someone's going to post about it.
Yeah, that was kind of a plot hole.
I didn't
that.
Like
was a
that.
Bit of a plot
that was,
hole.
Not really.
Someone's
no,
going to have
I thought the same thing.
He's going to do the research on
his audience of four.
No, it's not, because he illustrates at the beginning when he's just writing down his demo. He's making changes. He's talking about meter. He knows something about music. If you know anything about music, all you got to know is you got to follow a bass line. If you can follow a bass line, you can put anything down you want.
Yeah.
Right?
Should be. But you're not just going to walk into a gig not knowing anything
about
it.
Yeah, you can. You can
it.
Walk into a gig and follow the bass line and be able to put down anything you want, and you'd be fine.
And Ron asked him, do you play C, F, and G? And
that's
like,
it.
Yeah. And he said, okay,
you're in.
Yeah, that's true.
Follow the bass line.
Look, you can bring up this. You there can't do no that bass. On the keyboard because you know how to play keyboards. Most people don't. You can't make that as a whole thing to hinge the whole movie on. Oh, this is ridiculous. No,
because there was a giant paper mache head.
If you really want to get into keyboards, they have amazing keyboards.
I don't really want to get into keyboards.
They have amazing keyboards in this movie, and they underutilize them so much.
Oh, my God.
You know what? He's going to whip out a keytar is what he's going to do. No. Remember the keytar?
Yeah, I remember the keytar. Let's moving get back along. To the movie.
Yeah, moving along. Hey, a couple things I wrote down. Let me see what I've...
keyboards.
Oh, we have to talk about this, guys. We got to talk about the mix-up with the stuff, the powdery stuff.
Oh, yeah. The grown
ashes. It's like, all right, they didn't care much about their friend. They put his ashes. Well, I guess they were crying.
They did a Viking burial.
They didn't. Right. Yeah. Okay.
They got his ashes.
Right, I have a massive problem with this.
I mean, you know, you can't just put someone. I guess it was cool for aesthetics. It didn't seem
legal.
Legal or really right for the story. I didn't feel, once again, it's like this guy, Frank, you tell me Frank is the most inspirational man you've ever known. He kept saying that. And then Frank apparently just. You burn them on the boat, and they're like, okay, that's done. And then
it actually
just
adds
the next
to
scene.
What Max is saying with the cult of Frank. It's more like a ritual that a cult might go through.
Adam had a problem. Was it because of the legality of it? Is that what you were saying?
No, not the legality. There is no
bones
way.
Bones don't burn?
Yeah, bones do not burn. And also, the whole boat is wood. It's going to burn and just go into the lake.
It was a metal tub.
They put them in a barrel.
Yeah,
put them in a barrel.
There's... You're right. You're not going to have a fire that hot enough to burn bones down to ashes like that.
Okay.
I work at a crematory. You tell me.
Crematory.
Okay. Well, yeah. Great. Giant
but did you find that scene satisfying to you, Max?
Which one?
Where he dies.
Vikings, the Vikings.
Funeral?
Where he dies. Suicide. Everybody's sad. And then the next minute, it's like he never died, basically.
Well, what do you want him to do? Wallow in it for the rest of the movie?
No.
You got to move the thing along. You got to keep going.
There's a story to tell, man.
I guess so. Was there?
The show goes on.
I mean, how much time do you want him to spend on that?
Really? I don't say you spend a lot of time. I'm just saying
that. Okay, well, they didn't.
What I'm saying is that
no,
in
didn't.
That scene, it was like, okay, he's dead. This is sad. How tragic. How is this going to affect the rest of the movie? It didn't affect the rest of the movie. He could have been dead. He could have moved away. He could have left a note and said, I'm gone. He could have been keeping the car warm. They wouldn't have acted any different if any of those things happened.
No.
In the film, they would have been the same people. It didn't affect the rest of the characters from that point on forward at all.
It absolutely did, because it created the potential tension that John was going to die somehow. Because just like in Spinal Tap, where the drummer always dies, this guy was the keyboardist, and then that guy was the keyboardist, mm-hmm. And now you're the keyboardist. So that put in the audience members the potential that John may not make it out of this.
Kiss me.
Didn't you like Frank's mainstream song?
I like the ending song.
Didn't you like his most likable song ever?
Yeah, which was his worst song.
This is my most likable song ever.
Which was terrible.
I loved it.
It was pretty fun.
I remember seeing that in the theater and just crying, laughing for like 5 or 6 minutes after. And everybody was real quiet and they were like, shh. Like, I'm sorry, I'm laughing. This is hilarious.
The funniest scene when he's taking a shower and he's still in the head and he's got a plastic bag wrapped up for him. That was the funniest scene.
You really buy the fact that he never took the head off?
No, of course not.
Kiss me, Aphrodite. No, I don't buy the fact that he never took the head off. Of course he took the head off.
But it's not important. I mean,
no, I'm just asking as a question. Because that'd be tough to do, right? Live with a head on the whole time. Okay, you'd have to get a stick with like a... remember he told you, he says, you stink under there. Yeah. He put a stick like with a big cotton ball on the end of it.
But
he said, wash yourself with this. That's when Frank flips out and hauls ass out of the hotel room and gets hit by a car.
And then John gets hit by a car.
But you didn't feel the despondency of that hotel room scene where they're just the two of them together and he's finally reached his breaking point and like, take off the head, you know? I mean, there was you didn't feel the despair and the despondency?
No, I didn't feel it.
No?
Yeah. Oh, well, I like the movie a lot. You didn't like it. There's nothing else to be said, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
And I love that closing scene. You're crazy if you think that opening song was the best one. The one at the end was the best one.
Mm. I agree.
But we're going to wrap it up here, get into a small clip of the film.
And just take my opinion and watch it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, watch it. See what you can get out of it. There you go. I'm apparently in the minority. But
and Matt and James.
I read some other things, too. But, yeah, I guess some people liked it.
I've always dreamed that one day I'd have a band member who shared my vision of creating extremely likable music. So thank you, John. You gave me the little push I needed. Okay, enough chatter. Here it is. My most likable song ever. Coca-Cola.
lipstick ring. Go dance all night, dance all night. I've got dancing legs. Woo!
I've got dancing legs.
They won't stop a dancing, no. They won't stop a dancing. Kiss me, just kiss me. Kiss me, Nefertiti. Just the way you like it. Just the way you like it. Kiss me, kiss me. Lipstick, kiss me. Lipstick ring. Oh, that's the way you like it.
This is your most likable song ever?
Yeah.
People will love it.
Inspires our top three, as does the band in Frank, Sonnefrub.
Sonnefrub.
Mr. Cocktoastone.
Yeah. Dr. Rosen. Dr. Rosen Penis. Dr. Red. Sonnefrub's Frank is a fictional band of Frank.
Yeah.
So inspired fictional bands.
Yep.
Top three. I'm going to go to Max.
Yep.
Okay.
Max, number three, fictional bands.
This is a tough one for me, and this number three was a tough choice for me, but I had to go with the Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
You have to.
I had to
they
go gotta
be
Blues
on the
Brothers.
List.
I thought that'd be higher for you.
You would think. You would think.
Yeah, right.
Max, but they ended up touring as a band, and they weren't fictitious anymore.
But they actually premiered on Saturday Night Live.
I'm just being a
I know, that's why I had a hard time with that one. But technically, they were a made-up band.
Yes.
They played, they just played a few songs. They really didn't do a whole lot. They toured with Steve Martin. They were Steve Martin's opening act.
What about you, Hoodie? What you got, number three?
Number three, the Nick Rivers Band.
Yep.
From
Top
what?
Secret.
Top Secret. Okay. Yeah, I recall. What kind of music did they play?
Surf music.
Surf music.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Don't ask me to sing any of it. I just really wanted to say that one.
Yeah. Skeet shooting USA.
Look at this guy. Look at this guy.
He's got it. He's got it.
Nicely done there.
Nick Rivers was on my list. Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Was he really?
No, he was one of my also rans.
Oh.
But he was on there.
Right.
What about you, Savage? We're talking about fictitious bands inspired by Frank. What you got?
The Swanky Modes from Tapeheads.
Don't remember. I don't think I've seen that film.
Tapeheads, Swanky Modes, no, John Cusack, early John Cusack.
John Cusack, yeah.
Oh, I remember the movie. Years. I think I may have seen pieces.
Tapeheads, yeah.
No. What kind of music was it?
Are you thinking of Airheads and the Lone Rangers?
Nope. That's another one. Tapeheads, Swanky Modes. You know, you don't remember the ninja women fighting each other and they just pull up?
Oh, yeah, sure. No.
Adam?
No, I've never seen it, actually.
Get out your vinyl,
Swanky
Adam.
Modes, yeah.
Swanky Modes.
Swanky Modes.
What about you, producer? What are you going to go with top threes?
First of all, Max Rebo, the Max Rebo Band, with Cy Snoodles and Drew McCool from Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
And Dion and the Modal Nodes from Star Wars, the Cantina Band from Mos Eisley.
There you go.
The Cantina Band.
Yeah. Cantina Band.
Because they were just part of my childhood.
Go ahead and sing that, buddy.
Dion and the Modal Nodes.
All right. Well, it was a nice rendition there, Adam. Guys. I appreciate that. I feel more edumacated right now. I feel
don't,
real edumacated.
Don't tell us what kind of music they
Yeah,
play.
What kind of music is it?
Kind of a
don't,
jazz
You don't
want to
say it. You don't want to say the name of the music. Don't say the name of the music.
You
it's
don't mind?
Not a, it's not a pretty word. It would get us kicked off the radio.
Oh, would
Hit
it really?
Jazz?
It's close to jazz.
Okay.
It's real close to jazz.
It's a vowel off.
Okay. Hot jazz. Okay.
Right.
You know what my number three is? Huh? You know what my number three is?
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm talking about... Give it up for Sexual Chocolate.
Sexual Chocolate.
I'm going Sexual Chocolate. Listen, usually I don't hog these things. I couldn't wait to say that. Because you know who the lead singer of Sexual Chocolate is?
Mr. Randy Watson.
Put your hands together for Mr. Randy Watson.
He was the best part of the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama.
Yeah. He really was, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really was.
You may remember
him. He's good.
Donations, man. I thought it was the trash. Oh, man, I thought it was the trash.
Yeah, I'm going with Sexual Chocolate.
I believe the children are our future.
Teach them well, and let them lead the way.
Mr. Randy Watson.
Every day, I could say it every single day.
I think you do
say it every day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Savage, what's your number
Max.
Two?
That's
oh,
Max
sorry, Max.
Two.
I'm going to my right this time. Max, number two, fictional bands.
Well, it's not a band. It's an artist. And I literally just thought of that. Y'all saw me just write this down?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Lonesome Roads from A Face in the Crowd, the Elie Kazan movie.
Haven't seen it. It's
played by Andy Griffith.
Was it a good band?
Oh, my God.
Andy Griffith, like Andy Taylor?
Yeah, Andy Griffith. He played a musician that just rose from nothing.
Wow.
And just became the most egotistical, just jerk in the world.
How old is this movie?
Oh, gosh. 54, 55, maybe? I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
Was he good?
Oh, it was fantastic. Oh, it's such a good movie. Such a good movie.
Wow, maybe we can watch it sometime.
Right. I would love to. If it comes up on Netflix, we're all watching it.
What's the name of it?
A Face in the Crowd.
Well, I've heard of A Face in the Crowd. Sure.
Oh, that's a great movie.
I didn't catch the name of the movie, actually. I thought you said the name of the movie was the name of the band.
No, the name of the artist was Lonesome Roads.
Oh, I was thinking of the movie Lonesome Roads. I've heard of Face the Crowd, obviously.
That's
Face
a
in the
great
Crowd.
Movie.
1957 with Patricia Neal.
Yeah. I was not far off. There you go. Good job, Max. Thanks, Max.
Way to go, Max.
And Walter Matthau. And Lee Remick.
Yeah, Lee Remick was in it, yeah.
I think Adam's looking up something.
I think he's trying to sound bigger brain than he is. I think we went to you next, didn't we, Adam? Didn't we go to you second in the list here? So what's your number two?
My number two, Dr. Teeth and Electric Mayhem.
Don't know
Muppets.
What that is. The Muppets.
Dr. Teeth, man. Come on. Forget.
Yeah, that's a great band.
They're awesome.
They're fantastic.
Would you go see them if they went on tour?
Oh, my God. I would buy season tickets.
Okay.
Season tickets to the tour?
I would follow them. I would be their groupie.
You'd be season tickets to the tour. That's fantastic. I guess that, you know, that holds up. It's a season of touring.
I would go see Dr. Teeth.
Why can't you do that? Why can't you buy season tickets to a tour?
I guess you could.
You can.
Dr. Teeth,
awesome.
Please come to Nashville. The Ryman.
You just created a thing.
A thing. It's a thing now.
It's called groupie, and it's you know how that works. Hoodie, what's your number two?
I really don't know. I'm just going to say School of Rock.
There you go.
Those kids rocked.
There's a band.
That was my number one. I'll change it.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's course. No, of course. That's right, though. Absolutely, that's a good answer.
All right.
If you feel strongly about it, you should keep it.
Sure, I can change mine.
No, keep it.
I'm not feeling strong about mine at all.
He said, that's sticking. Just as long as it gets said. This gives us more opportunity to say other things.
Because there's some icons that somebody's bound to say.
Oh, yeah. My number one is not changing. And it's very obvious.
Right. I know what your number one is.
Okay.
Yeah, come on.
Right.
School of Rock, yeah, absolutely. Savage, what's your number two?
I was going with some obscure things since I didn't get the swanky modes. How about the Hong Kong Cavaliers?
What is it?
Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai.
How in the hell would I even know what
chance.
That is?
Not
Across the Third Dimension.
That's right, man. That's right.
With Dr. John Big Booty.
Yeah. Hong Kong Cavaliers.
That's a great name, the Hong Kong Cavaliers.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. Buckaroo Banzai.
It's a crazy movie.
It is.
Peter Weller.
It's a little wacky. It's stylistic. Wacky.
Yeah. Can I ask what kind of music?
Intergalactic pop.
Like Jan Terry?
More like Katy Perry.
Oh. Anyways, my number two, you know what it is? This is inspired by a film I was asked to go watch at the Cult Fiction Underground by my good friend Tommy. And we watched Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Anybody seen this film?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've not seen it, but I knew that would be on your list.
Yeah, I mean, it's a film I liked way more than I thought I should have. But I like the film, but the music in it is almost jaw-droppingly good.
It is.
Man alive. You have a transsexual burning it up on stage.
It's an angry inch.
Yeah, it was an angry inch.
So close to not being an inch.
Yeah. No, but I actually ended up liking the film, and I thought that there was real craft there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with a Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Max Hedwig.
Max Hedwig?
I don't know.
Hedwig?
No, something came out there. Max, your quarter of an inch is very angry. So go ahead and tell me right now what you have for your number ones. We're on ones, right?
Number ones.
Yeah.
Everybody should know my number one. Right?
It's Dewey Cox.
It's Dewey Cox. Yeah, absolutely.
It's Dewey Cox. Right. Hands down, Dewey Cox. Every song in that film was fantastic.
The Wrong Son Died.
And he sang every one of them. Can't believe it. Oh, God, I love that movie.
I had it on my list. I thought I'm not going to say it. He has to say it.
No, there's some icons.
I knew that was going to be
there's
Max.
Some icons about to happen. Yeah.
Love that movie.
What's the best Dewey Cox song?
Guilty as Charged I don't know. I like
Let's
Walk
Do
Hard.
It.
I like Let's Do It.
Let's Do It.
I like Dear Mr. President. I like
them all.
I like every one of them. Black Sheep. I love Black Sheep. Right. Black Sheep. Black Sheep.
Adam, what's your number one?
Let's drop an icon.
Oh, come on. My God. I was hoping someone would say some of these, but my number one of all time are The Problems from Light of Day.
Ugh.
Do you know why?
I don't know if I've seen the film. I don't think I've seen this.
No. Trent Reznor was in that movie, was the keyboardist for them.
In The Light of Day?
Yeah.
You mean the Joan Jett?
The Joan Jett movie?
Yeah. Screw Joan Jett's. Forget that. Trent Reznor was in that movie.
All right.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, he was part of The Problems.
Oh, with Michael J. Fox?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, what, am I thinking of the right thing? No,
Michael
no.
J. No, Fox, it's the same. It's this movie. You're thinking of the
okay.
Bar, they're the Barbusters.
Okay, okay.
But
okay.
Trent Reznor was a background band, or the problem, sorry, was a background band in where they're just having a couple of drinks and
yeah.
the bar.
Okay, got it,
like,
got
yeah.
it. So Trent Reznor inspires your number one. I can go with that.
Trent Reznor inspires
hey.
Everything
hey,
about me.
That's his thing. That's He's his sticking thing. With it. I say that's a perfect answer.
Drop
perfect.
An icon. Drop an icon. What you got? You know what it is.
What's yours? What's yours, Hoodie?
I'd like to give an honorable mention to the Folksmen.
Yes, sir.
Everybody knows oh, the number yeah, one yes. is Spinal Tap.
Absolutely it is.
Yeah. They birthed this whole thing.
Come yeah, of course right. they did.
I love yep. them, and I celebrate their entire collection, as Max does Dewey Cox.
I had my iPod on Shuffle the other day, and Big Bottom came up.
Love
I
Big
didn't
Bottom.
Forward through anything. It's staying. Big Bottom, Big Bottom, talk about mud flaps. My babe's got them, Max. Right.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
I am a more Folksman fan right. than I am Spinal Tap fan. Oh, yeah. I have to say it.
Okay, that's cool.
Blood on the Cole.
Love well, the Folksman, awesome. Too, though.
They're great.
What about you, James? Yeah. Hard Sub Savage, inspired by Frank. What you got?
We got to have icons. I mean, the number ones, and there's so many of these, and let's do the big ones. And there's still some left, but I'm going to pick Soggy Bottom Boys.
That was on my list.
That was on my list.
Yeah.
My number one's blown out. My backup number one's blown out. You know what? I'm going to keep it real stupid. You know what I'm going to go with? Wild Stallions. Right there. Bill and Ted.
Another icon.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I'm glad somebody said it.
You're waiting for that? I'm going to go. Why? Because I like it because they spell wild, W-Y-L. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And Stallions, S-T-A-L-L-Y-O-N.
Right. Yeah. Wild Stallions.
Wild Stallions.
Wild Stallions.
They've been brought up before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I do have shout-outs.
Yeah, let's do some shout-outs, Adam. Go ahead.
There's a bunch of them.
First of all, Black Roses from the movie Black Roses. I know it's a bad horror movie from the 80s.
Nobody
love it. It doesn't matter. And the O-Neaters.
The Wonders.
The O-Neaters.
The Wonder. It's the one.
I know.
It's the Wonders.
Yeah. I also want to give
a... It's a great movie. I watch that every single time I see it on TV.
I want to give a shout-out to Sonic Death Monkey from
High Fidelity.
Yeah.
Yes. Nice. Yeah. Good job. That's a great one.
Or the Funky Wizards from High Fidelity.
How about this? Autobahn from Big Lebowski.
Yes, sir.
Had that.
There you go.
Dang. God.
I was yes, going to say that one. Autobahn.
I'm giving a shout out to DJ from Hustle and Flow. It's hard course. Out there on a pimp.
When he's trying to make it. Money for the rent.
That's right.
I said that as white as I could, didn't I?
It's did a hard good job. Trying to make money for the rent.
Yeah, exactly. That just occurred. I'm the whitest man on the planet. It's hard
dot,
out
dot,
there.
Dot in collateral.
Yeah. It's hard out there for a pimp when you're trying to make money for the
Have
rent.
Have you ever heard of CB4?
Yes,
CB4,
sir.
CB4, yeah, the rap group. Yeah. I got three shout-outs. Lewin Davis.
Yep.
Otis Bad Blake from Crazy Heart.
Yeah.
And I had to put these guys on there. Dirk Diggler and Brock Rothschild from Boogie Nights.
No,
oh,
no.
Yeah. Oh,
Otis God. Day and the Nights from Animal House.
You have the touch.
Yeah.
All right, so that brings us to next week's reveal, guys. There you go. There's Frank.
Special thing for next week. Though,
we're going to get into that right here, right now. This was Frank. We're going to step outside the queue.
Sure.
We're going to kick the door open on the queue and go take a walk. We're going to hand this over to Dana. The great Dana Buckner.
Buckler.
Buckler.
I'd like to thank everyone for taking a few minutes out of your day to listen to my show.
And that's you know what, though? I love that because that's how classy Dana is. Yeah. I mean, if you listen to the How Is This Movie podcast, one of my favorites, Max, you like it, too.
Oh, I love that.
It's very well done.
It's great.
And we thought, let's spread the love around. I mean, my God, he inspires us. He inspires us. He inspires me.
He's my Frank.
Yeah, he's my Frank.
We love you, Frank.
Yeah. So we asked Dana to queue up a film for us. He's going to get involved, and he's going to let us know what he thinks of it. And he told us to go ahead and talk about... You're next. But anyways, a lot of people like this film. I know Max did. I've seen it too, so I'm looking forward to talking about this. And Dana, thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to do that.
All right.
So that's next week. We're going to step outside the queue. We're going to talk about You're Next. And that is what's next. And if you want to keep up with us, as always, you go to thequefilmcast.net. Yeah, you go there. Tell us what you think of anything. This review, whatever. And that's it. You can follow us on Twitter, iTunes, Facebook, it's all right there. So that's where this one ends, guys. And until then, next week, you're next. And however it is, you say, son of a bitch.